Good afternoon. Welcome to the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee for March 25th, 2026. A few different bills on the agenda. The Rep. Warwas bill, the Rep. DePell bill, the Rep. Cagle bill, the Rep. Joy bill, Cosnick Trooper bill, then we'll do the light rails, and then the Anderson bill. And 3849 Myers, I think we're withdrawing. So with that, we do have a quorum. And Vice Chair Ream, if you've had a chance to look at the minutes for Monday, March 23rd, if you would move the minutes, I would appreciate it.
Yes, I did take a look at the minutes, and I would like to make the motion to approve the minutes.
Vice Chair Ream moves the motion for the to approve the minutes for Monday, March 23rd, 2026. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are adopted. Representative Warwas, thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the committee. I think this is your first time here. And you've ingratiated us with some after-lunch snacks. Is that right?
I have.
Well, thank you very much, members. We'll pass those out. I'll make the motion for House File 4006 to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Warwas, update us with the progress on the Progress Parkway, please.
All right, I will do that. Thank you, Chair Cosnick and Chair Tabke, members of the committee. Here today to talk about Progress Parkway, and that project is well underway. We've gotten a lot of really good work done on that project, but here to tell you more about it is St. Louis County Public Works Director Jim Faldacy.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last name.
Faldacy.
Hollacy?
Faldacy.
Faldacy. Welcome to the committee. Reintroduce yourself so the tape picks it up, and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jim Faldacy. I'm the St. Louis County Public Works Director representing St. Louis County. Thank you, Chair Cosnick, Co-Chair Tabke, and committee members for the opportunity to testify on HF 4006, which is a request to modify a prior appropriation for Phase 1 of the Progress Parkway project in the city of Eveleth. The original appropriation was for $6 million to design and construct Progress Parkway, which is our County State Aid Highway 142, from Trunk Highway 53 to Trunk Highway 37, with an expiration date of June 30, 2027. Our Phase 1 bids connecting Trunk Highway 53 with the school and adding a roundabout have been opened, and the project has come in under budget at $4.6 million. These funds will be expended by the original June 30, 2027 deadline. We are requesting at this time that a time extension be granted to June 30, 2030, so that the remaining $1.4 million can be used on Phase 2 of this important safety and economic development project, which will complete the construction of the new alignment, which was originally intended, south to the Trunk Highway 37 intersection. Thank you for your time and consideration and the opportunity to testify, and with that, I would turn it back to the chair.
So there has been some progress on Progress Parkway.
Yes, sir.
And we need a couple more years to complete the progress. Members, any questions? The motion is to move it to Ways and Means. Seeing no member discussion, I will renew the motion for House File 4006 to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. We'll send it to Ways and Means. Thank you. Appreciate it. And thanks for
the
treats.
Thank you very much.
Representative Cagle, actually, if you are ready, doesn't appear that Representative DePell is here yet. We're going to jump the order here. Thank you for being ready. We will move next to House File 3649 and come back to the DePell bill later. 3649, Representative Cagle. 3694, sorry.
I do that a
3694. Please introduce the bill. Welcome to the committee, and you have a testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is the motion on this one?
Good point. To the General Register.
Thank you. I will move House File 3694 to the General Register. What this bill does is it allows tow trucks that have the big signs on the back that have lights to say move over. I know a lot of people don't understand that the move over law is something that we have passed, and that when you see somebody on the side of the road that you should be allowing them some space in order to get their vehicle fixed or towed or whatever. And so what this would do is just allow technology to have those signs on the back of the truck that remind people to move over. And so with that, I will turn over to my testifier, Ms. Zimmerman.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Zimmer. Members, there was a PowerPoint in your packet. I'm sure you've looked at it. I think it was emailed out as well. Welcome to the committee. Identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair Kosnick and Chair Tabke, and members of the committee. Christine Zimmer with Zimmer Consulting. I represent AAA, and I'm here today to talk to you about this bill. AAA serves more than 600,000 members in Minnesota. They've been in the roadside safety business for 120 years and advocates for the safety of the motoring public. This bill allows for tow trucks to have permission to use the variable message signs on the top of the tow trucks. This technology is used in many states, and it is, in fact, used here in Minnesota for the highway helpers have it. It is a permissible use here in Minnesota, so this puts it into statute. The key findings in the 2023 AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety study said that the odds of a vehicle moving over were 95% higher when the vehicle-mounted variable message sign was in use. It's visible from 3,000 feet, and then legible from 1,000 feet, and it gives people the time to react, slow down, and then move over. The message display is pre-programmed. It can't say anything witty, punny, or funny. It just says move left, move right, slow down, move over, has the arrow or the chevron. We've spent a lot of time for getting this tool, this simple tool to keep the tow truck technicians safe on the roadside and the motoring public safe on the side of the as they drive on the road. We've met with the Department of Public Safety. We've met with MnDOT. And we'll be working with MnDOT on some educational material that they asked for. We've also shared the bill with the towing industry. It's not mandatory. It's just an option if they want to use it. And the Professional Towing Association supports the bill. We know of no opposition to the bill, and would like to thank you all for your time. I know it's a busy agenda, so I kept it real quick, but I'm ready for questions if you have any.
Thank you very much for the testimony and the bill. Representative Sensormura.
Thank you. Just a quick question about the PowerPoint. So I see here 15 roadside heroes perished in 2025 while rescuing stranded motorists. Is that for the country or is that just for the state?
That was countrywide.
Thank you. Any other member questions? Representative Cagle, if you'd like to close and renew your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll renew my motion that House File 3694 be referred to the General Register. It's a good bill. Vote yes.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. Members, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. Okay, we are waiting for Representative DePell. We'll go to Rep. Myers. I'm just kidding. Rep. Joy, do you want to, we'll proceed to your bill then. We're going to move House File 3844 to the General Register.
What's that?
Representative Joy, proceed with moving your bill to the General Register and tell us what House File 3844 does.
Thank you, Chair and members. This bill last year, as you remember, I had this in committee. The Senate passed and went to the governor for a signature. It was Senate File 1075. We had the companion over here. And last year when that bill got wrote, it was allowing window tints to be wrote by physicians. We left out the word optometrist, And so that is just taking this bill and adding the word optometrist to be able to write these prescriptions. And that's all it is updating that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. Do you have any questions? Representative Joy, would you consider this a simple bill?
This is, we don't use that word simple. This is a good bill.
It's a thank you. Good answer. Please renew your motion. Seeing no committee questions.
I'll renew your motion for you.
House File 3844 to the General Register. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. This bill will go to the General Register. Thank you. Representative DePell, we've been anxiously waiting your arrival for the second time.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
All right, I'm just kidding you. I got lunch today. So I will renew House File. I will make the motion for you. House File 3785 to the Committee on Ways and Means. And there are two amendments. Thank you. First, please briefly re-describe what your bill intends to do, and then we'll move to the amendments.
Brief description of the bill is to categorize e-motos. These are electric motorcycles. They have speed capability, weight, and power capabilities far beyond what's classified already as an e-bike or an electric bicycle, and ultimately defines those to a certain extent and allows these to become something that is regulated in the same way as a gasoline or internal combustion powered motorcycle.
Mr. Burris, could you confirm with us, have we already adopted the A1 in the previous hearing?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, the A1 amendment had been adopted in the last hearing when this bill had been discussed.
Okay, so members, the A1 should be in your packet, but that's already been adopted. We will then move to the A3 amendment, and these are two author's amendments, I believe, A3 and A8.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the A3 and A8.
You're not a member of the committee, so I'll move it for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And then explain the need for the A3 amendment, please.
The need for the A3 amendment appropriately certifies these as motorcycles. It puts them through the same thing that a gasoline-powered motorcycle would have to be put through in terms of certification.
Thank you, Representative DePell. Members, do you have any questions on the A3? Seeing no questions, all those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Please, Representative DePell, explain the A8 amendment, which I hereby move for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A8 also clarifies some technical language on motor type. For instance, a liquid fueled was past language, now it's internal combustion. This brings some clarity to this item. It also clarifies the higher e-moto category. That's something over 1,500 watts of electric motor power. That's fundamentally what this amendment does.
Thank you, Representative DePell. Members, do you have any questions on the A8th amendment? All those in favor, seeing no discussion or questions, I will move the A8 amendment. All those in favor of adopting it, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The A8 is adopted. Now that we have the bill in the form that the author has worked on, I do want to point out, thank you, Representative DePell. You know, you have a good issue here that needs to be addressed, and as I mentioned to Representative Joy, there is no such thing as a simple bill. So I appreciate the work that you put into this and addressing concerns from different stakeholders. Why don't you wrap up your bill, and then we'll see if there's any member questions.
I believe if you just remember back and recall back to the testimony from Janet, her injury that was incurred in my district, along with many others in our state, have prompted this specific legislation. We regulate motorcycles on the road. It's an appropriate thing to do. It's a vehicle and can be utilized as such, but there should be appropriate guardrails around this.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions or comments? Oh, Representative Scraba.
Sorry, Chair. I apologize for asking a question in advance. I just want to thank you for, I have an e-bike, and I have a 750-watt motor. And when I saw the number, I was afraid that you were going after me. And I look at it, and I go, nope, you're well away from those of us that use them recreationally and on bike trails now. They're actually allowed on a lot of bike trails. The vehicle that was in that accident, it's not even close to what we have here. So I thank you for staying in that lane and working on that lane and making everything in that direction. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. I just like to give you a little bit of hard time sometimes. Vice Chair Rehm.
Thank you, Chair Kosick, and thank you, Representative DePelle, for bringing this bill forward. I know you've done a lot of work on this, and I certainly am interested in making it safer for people to be able to bike and walk, and I know that this is something that was drafted as a way to address what had happened in Hastings, a very tragic crash, and so thank you very much for working on this.
Thank you. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just looking at the fiscal note, and I was just curious then. It looks like there's revenue coming in on this, so this means that these e-motors then would have to register with DNR?
Mr. Chair.
Representative DePelle.
Thank you. That's correct. There is a registration process very similar, if not the same, as motorcycle currently, and we worked very thoroughly with DPS and other agencies to make sure this was all covered.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, Representative DePelle, you have to have a driver's license or motorcycle license to drive these now?
Representative DePelle.
If it is any electric motorcycle and falls into that category, then yes, that is the case. They fall within a motorcycle type category.
But these are
Representative Cagle.
Thank you.
Is your microphone on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get closer. So the e-motos then would be considered like off-road vehicle type things so that kids can still enjoy on the trails but not on the streets?
Representative DePelle, and you're welcome to phone your friend there too.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for these questions. These are important questions, and yes, they can use them off-road. It's something that I actually did as a child. I drove dirt bikes a lot and a lot of other recreational vehicles. So we wanted to make sure that we had appropriate guardrails around these things. And off-road use is totally permitted. We just can't use it in a public right-of-way, much like a motorcycle has to have mirrors and blinkers if you're going to be driving them on the road. It would be under those conditions.
Thank you.
You're good? Okay, thank you. Good questions. Anybody else? I know Representative Tapke's on the list. Representative Tapke.
Thank you very much, Chair Kosick. I am in favor of this going forward today. I think there's still some questions that need to get figured out with this. There's some technical issues and some references that do still need to get amended on here. So I just encourage you to do that as it goes forward, as well as their concerns. And if you could address these, their concerns from Motorcycle Association, Dirt Bike Association, other folks that have come up recently. So if you can address those as to what the problems are and what, if anything, you're going to do to fix those issues.
Representative DePelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Tabke. And that absolutely is part of what I had hoped to just address also as somebody who drove motocross and visited many tracks and actually drove to different areas around where I grew up and spent hundreds of hours on a dirt bike. It's an issue that's extremely important to me also, and it's my full intent to work with AMA to continue to resolve any issues that they may have with the legislation. So this is idealized for every stakeholder.
Okay, so we are going to move this to Ways and Means. I think Chair Tapke brings up some concerns that I trust that you will work on before it gets brought up in Ways and Means. There was a question about some other stakeholders' concerns, and I would welcome or encourage some public testimony. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Chair Kosnick, Chair Tapke, my name is Tony Quillis. I represent the Amateur Rider Motorcycle Association, or ARMCA as they're known. And Chair Tapke, to your question, to the stakeholders and the advocates, and especially to Representative DePell, we've had some really constructive conversations over the last 7 to 10 days. And with the A3 and the A8 amendment, we're very comfortable with where the bill is at right now. If some other issues pop up between now and Ways and Means or through the legislative process, we're more than willing to work. Like I said, the author has been very gracious with his time and working with us and the advocates also for some of the meetings that we've had, and we're willing to be participants in that as we move forward.
Well, thank you for that. Any other public testimony? This is the second time we've heard the bill, so we don't need anything that has already been said. But thank you for your work on this. It's a very important safety issue that I think all of us agree, and just want to make sure it's addressed properly because we are creating law here. So Representative DePell, thank you very much for your work. It's very important, and great job representing your constituents. I will renew your motion of House File 3785, or my motion, House File 3785 to the Ways and Means Committee. Any all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good job. Your bill is to the Ways and Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Rep. Myers, you're... still doesn't want to do his bill. Okay. I will pass the gavel to a new chair, Representative Joy. And we will, Representative Joy, we will take up House File 4102, and I'll just do that from here.
Next up is Kosnick, House File 4102. And we will, you'll move this to, looks like you're moving this to the General Register, Chair Kosnick.
That's right. Thank you, Chair Joy. Members, we previously had this bill up in committee, and we laid it over to iron out a couple concerns with Chair Tapke. Maybe we could have Mr. Burris remind us which amendments were adopted, and then we'll proceed.
There's two amendments, it looks like, and Mr. Burris, can you tell us which one has been adopted?
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment, which added authority related to volunteer chaplains, was adopted, and the committee also adopted the A2 amendment, which had removed the benefits portion of the salary studies.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, now we have the A5 and the A6. Okay, we'll do the A5 first.
We'll do the A5 first, Mr. Chair, and I believe Chair Tapke wants to handle that one.
Go ahead. Chair Tapke, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Murphy.
I love it.
Just wanted to comment on a couple things. So as we had, thank you, Chair Joy. Probably should be more proper than that, but this is a bill that I've been proud to have been working on for a long time, and happy to have some things moving forward with this. And so last committee hearing, for those following along, I was had some concerns about the A1 amendment and a line that said, without regard to personnel laws or rules. I got clarification from MMB that that is okay, that people would still be an HR perspective, that people would still be needed to follow all of the state rules and those kinds of things as a volunteer, so that is okay. The A2 amendment was the one that came forward to pull a fiscal note off of this bill so that it would not take benefits into account for this study. I have some serious concerns about that, but I don't want to take that off for right now, so I want to let it go forward with that. If we are comparing apples to apples with what the goal of this is, to make sure that troopers get paid well enough to compete with local jurisdictions, because what's happening in general right now is that local police departments and other agencies are able to pay at higher rates than the state is, and so we want to make sure that that is staying comparable, and that's my goal with this anyway. And by not adding benefits into this study on things, we'll do two things. One, it will both not be an accurate and complete portrayal of what the benefits are, what the full package is for everything. But secondly, I think we have a fiduciary responsibility as a state to make sure that we are doing the right things. And what this would do is it would benefit the troopers, which I'm okay with, but it wouldn't be a complete picture of where that all would be, because state benefits tend to be better than local benefits are. And so that's just something we'll let go for now and go. But the one thing that I have a problem with the bill as it sits today is that it was removing a sunset of these studies going forward. And what our goal in starting these was to make sure that we got troopers to comparable for a good pay level, so that they are able to stay in the job for a long time and continue to serve the state and the people of Minnesota and do a good job that way. And so the goal is to get that up to a level and then not have to do these studies after that. And so working together with LELS and other folks this weekend, we came up with this language in the A5 amendment, which I'll put forward now, to House File 4102, that will extend the sunset into the future. So these will continue to be done until we get this right, and it'll be up to future legislatures to decide what they wanted to do with it from there.
Thank you, Chair Tabke. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I would accept the A5 amendment as a friendly amendment.
The A5 has been accepted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The amendment is adopted, and now we will move on to... Oh. Thanks, John. The amendment is adopted, and we will move on to A6 now. Representative Fogelman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A6 amendment. This amendment addresses an issue that I brought forward to the committee last year. Current law gives the Commissioner of Transportation the exclusive authority to require law enforcement pilot escort for manufactured home loads transported on local and state roads. There have been numerous instances where the Commissioner had not required that the law be enforced, but local state troopers had insisted on it. And threatening citations. You can't have it both ways. If the commissioner does not require a law enforcement escort, that should be the final word. I'm troubled because troopers insisting on an escort may also be the same one being paid overtime to do the pilot escort service. This is kind of troubling. And the homeowner is going to get saddled with that cost in the end, and we're trying to not cause more hardship on our taxpayers. This unregulated practice is making affordable homeownership less affordable. So, Mr. Chair, I hope that we would work to address this issue as this bill moves forward. I think any study of the trooper compensation should also give us a detailed breakdown of overtime pay and exactly what that overtime pay is for. And with that, Mr. Chair, I withdraw my amendment.
Any discussion?
I guess I would, I appreciate the highlighting that issue, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if was there anybody in the public that wanted to comment or?
Seeing none, or maybe?
I think somebody from the department may want to comment.
Mr. Chair.
Please state your name and give us your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Rudin, MnDOT Government Affairs, and certainly understand the issue that Representative Fogelman has brought forward, but did want to just note that we have some concerns about the language as it's currently drafted that seems to imply that the determination to make whether an escort is needed could be shifted over to a licensed peace officer rather than being clearly enumerated on the permit when it's issued. Also, these permits are auto-issued by our system, so a person can go in and apply, and then if you meet the conditions, the system automatically issues it. So We believe that this change would require us to work with our vendor to sort of customize our permit issuance system, so there would be a fiscal impact to making those changes. So unfortunately, those modifications would be fairly substantial, we think. So I don't have like a cost estimate currently, but we wouldn't anticipate that there would be a cost to making that change.
Thank you for that. And any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Sure, Mr. Chair Costa.
I don't know that I want to accept this onto the bill, but I think it's worthy to have the discussion. We had a discussion about it last year on a standalone bill. I think there was some comment between industry and the department. Went back and forth a little bit. I thought there was going to be a letter, perhaps, and maybe that's my recollection, that there was going to be a letter to provide some clarity to mobile home transporters on that, and I don't know that we've seen that letter. Does that sound familiar? If Mr. Radin could comment on that, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't recall seeing that letter either, so I will follow up on that right after this hearing and find out what the status of that was.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll just follow up and continue to work on that, just because it is important for industry to be able to deliver whatever their product is. But in this case, there seems to be some a lot of heartburn and concern. So if we can streamline that, that would be, I think everybody would be a lot happier. So the amendment's been withdrawn.
Thank you, members. And 4102 is now in order with the A5 amendment adopted and A6 pulled. We will move to the bill and open up for members' discussion. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Kosnick, I appreciate what you're trying to do here. We should be paying our law enforcement officers a highly competitive wage. The question I have, and I'm not, you've been intimately involved in this, is feels to me like we're having an organization, the OLA, do this analysis that isn't really the right organization to do it. And then we're not including benefits in it, so we're getting kind of maybe not the right organization, and we wind up with data that's flawed. So I don't know exactly what to do with that, but I want to verbalize that and ask you maybe to consider that as this moves forward. I'm very supportive of paying our law enforcement officers very well, but this is, just some cognitive dissonance.
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you. Representative Kraft, I think those are fair inquiries. My understanding is when they're looking to hire even like newer troopers, the main thing that a lot of them are interested in is the actual wage. It's understood the benefits, but this one of the sticking points in recruiting, and we do as a committee spend a lot of money on recruiting and training for the troopers. It comes out of our budget. So one of the main sticking points for recruiting just to get in the door is the salary. So that's the most important piece of the study. I think your comments and with my discussion with the Office of Legislative Auditor that there may be other now that we've narrowed it, it's not as burdensome for them to provide that data, and that they're currently legislated to do that, so we're reducing that burden. I think there are some other options that should be explored or could be for one of the ideas, and sorry, nonpartisan, but that nonpartisan staff could provide a report annually or something on that. So we could discuss some of those ideas. Representative Tabke has worked on this even more than I have, so good things to consider and I think to take forward. And I would encourage members to support the bill in the shape that it is in today.
Any other member discussion? Chair Tabke? Okay. Chair Kosnick?
I will renew my motion for House File 4102 as amended to the General Register.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 4102 is going to the General Register. Next up, we are taking up Kosnick, House File 3441. And Chair Kosnick, to your bill. Which one are we doing first? 3441, the light rail. Is that the one you wanted? 3441 is when you numbered them out. We went six and then, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move House File 3441 to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. House File 3441 to the Committee on Ways and Means. I don't see any amendments in that one. All in favor say aye. All opposed? Okay. And Chair Kosnick, to your bill.
I'm not sure what we just voted on there. I will move the, let's reset here. I will move House File 3441 to the General Register.
No, and, Ways and Means.
Or excuse me, Ways and Means. Now you got me on
3441. It's okay, going Mr. to Ways Chair. And Means.
Okay. 3441 to Ways and Means. Vote. Members, what the.
We did not vote? Is that what we're deciding?
We will rescind that vote. You are right.
Okay. Is there anything procedurally we need to do for that? Or we're just like, okay, letting that be a representative, a Chair Joy.
I corrected the temporary chair. So we will have 3441 in front of us being moved to the Committee on Ways and Means. Members, what 3441 does is deals with a blue line light rail extension project and the operating and capital maintenance cost of it will be borne by the local partner, which in this case is Hennepin County. The purpose of this is we have not received federal funding grant agreement on the blue line extension, and it seems to be very a project that's pushed mostly by one local partner, and if they're going to continue to push for this bill without federal funding, the capital costs and stuff should be paid by that local partner instead of the entire region or state. And Mr. Chair, I do believe we have a commissioner from Hennepin County that wanted to testify.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. If the testifiers can...
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Chair Cagle.
It's just kind of confusing. I don't... usually the testifier goes up to the rostrum. I guess I'm... Oh, okay.
To our testifier, introduce yourself and start your test.
Co-Chair Kosnick, Co-Chair Tabke, and members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to testify. My name is Marion Green. I'm a Hennepin County Commissioner for District 3, and I'm also chair of our Regional Rail Authority. HF 3341 seeks to punish Hennepin County for investing local revenue in the Metro Transit system that will have significant regional and statewide benefits. We urge you to oppose this legislation. A bit about Hennepin County. We serve residents with efficient transportation options that meet the needs of our growing region. We do this by investing in multimodal transportation, like the construction of a comprehensive network of high-frequency transit like light rail and bus rapid transit. Quality transit builds vibrant and thriving communities and benefits the entire metro and state of Minnesota. The Blue Line extension is the missing northern leg of our light rail system. It's a generational investment in communities that rely heavily on transit to move affordably and with dignity throughout our region. Half of Blue Line extension riders are expected to come from households that do not have reliable access to a car. This project will extend the Blue Line from downtown Minneapolis through North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, Brooklyn Park, and efficiently connecting these communities to the broader transit network, including 5 hospitals, 55 schools, 200,000 jobs, and 462 retail businesses. This is a growing corridor that's expected to see 194,000 new residents and 100,000 more jobs in the next 20 years. The Metropolitan Council is responsible for the development of the project and is the project sponsor for the Federal Transit Administration to qualify for federal funding for up to 50% of project costs. Hennepin County has worked as a project partner with the Met Council and is committed to helping pay the remaining non-federal share of the project. In 2024, the Met Council completed the municipal consent process for the project, with all the cities and Hennepin County voting to approve preliminary design plans. Strong support from elected officials along the corridor shows the value of this project and what it'll bring their communities. 2026 is a big year for the Blue Line Extension LRT project. After years of hard work and planning, the Blue Line Extension will apply for federal funding this year and begin construction next year after federal funding is awarded. Light rail continues to have the highest ridership and lowest per rider subsidy of any transit mode. It moves people efficiently and connects major destinations. In fact, just the two existing light rail lines serve one-third of all the transit rides in the metro area. Light rail also provides by far the highest return on investment in economic development, including 36,000 multifamily housing units that were permitted since 2019. Light rail spurs commercial centers and property tax revenue that reduces the burden on other properties. Land near light rail generates 27 times more tax revenue than an average parcel in the metro and 4 times more economic development per mile than bus rapid transit. The Blue Line Extension is also a critical jobs investment for construction workers across the state, creating upwards of 6,000 jobs to build the project and more than 40,000 jobs in associated economic development. To give you a flavor from the Green Line Extension, 5,400 people brought home paychecks for the construction, and they lived in 73 of Minnesota's 87 counties. The Metropolitan Council makes construction and operating decisions for Metro Transit, not Hennepin County. Hennepin County is committed to helping build a robust transit system to better serve our region and state. The legislature should encourage local governments to invest in high-quality transit to improve mobility, meet the state's climate goals, and create thousands of good-paying jobs for our shared residents. For these reasons, we strongly oppose the bill, and thank you again for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. And Chair Kostick, do you have any?
Yeah, we'll have some questions, a conversation with the commissioner. I appreciate you being here and
thank you.
Taking some questions and your testimony. Some other members might have some questions first.
Do we have
otherwise,
any
I'll go.
Members? I think Representative Jones is on the list, too. I think I'll go to her to see if she wants to ask the testifier question or if she's for the general bill. Representative Jones.
No questions for the testifier. I just have comments for the general bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Sensabria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Kosnick, for bringing this bill and continuing the conversation about the Blue Line extension. I'll just do a couple general comments that I think apply to both this bill and the next bill that is coming up. As someone who has multiple Blue Line stops in my district and has sat on this committee for 4 years, I certainly don't think light rail is perfect. I think we've had some, real conversations about the challenges that our light rail has coming out of COVID that we have seen with public transportation and rail across the United States. We are not unique in that. And I think we've done some really good work on that. I take light rail. I have shadowed the trip agents. I have heard from members of my community about how they see rail as improving. And I really resonate with what Commissioner Green said about the economic benefits and economic development. I have seen that with my own eyes in my community. And I know that the Blue Line Extension is a project that has been promised to the community of North Minneapolis and the northern suburbs. And I think they are really looking for us to follow through on that. And I think it would be premature to do some manipulation to change this funding before we know whether the federal government is going to give their part, and we are still waiting on that. About this specific proposal, I think my question is around, we did work in the 2024 to, delineate Met Council would pay for the operation, the counties and cities would pay for the building out of the light rail. I think a lot of work was done on that compromise. This bill, I think, seeks to undo that. And my question is, this is a Blue Line extension. There's already a Blue Line that exists. So how would it work, Chair Kosnick, if Hennepin County has to pay for just a portion of the line, right, from Target Field to the northern suburbs? I'm thinking about, drivers that are driving the whole blue line. So half their pay come from Hennepin County. When we think about wear and tear to our trains, you know, how do we know whether it comes from the Blue Line extension piece or comes from the Blue Line that already exists? Can you just talk me through how this would functionally work with asking the county to just kind of pay for half of the maintenance of the line? Thank you.
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Representative Sensenmura and Commissioner. Couple things in there. The main thing is the fiscal note. In the fiscal note, it discusses the actual cost to maintain and operate and the capital maintenance in the bill. It's about $57 million a year just for this extension. So that's all we're talking about. We're not talking about going into the other parts that the Blue Line currently goes to. So I believe it's like on page 4. So it's the first year it's $57,775,136. And then you subtract out projected ridership revenue and advertising. So it's roughly very close to $50 million. I think what your comment about might be premature to take to pass this before we know if there's federal funding or not, I think that's actually very fair. There was an A2 amendment. I don't know if we posted it, but I didn't put it on time, so we can talk about it. We're not going to take a vote on it. But I think maybe we would have some agreement then. If we don't have federal funding agreement, a full federal funding agreement, by, I think I had November 1st of 26 was a date that I had on a proposed amendment, then we should just stop kidding ourselves that this is ever going to get built and provide to what communities in that corridor have asked me to do is to provide a more reliable rapid bus transit option. And so if we don't have federal funding, let's just move on, and as you mentioned, the other bill, and provide reliable, fast bus alternatives for 10% of the cost, and I'd love to have your support on that. And, you know, really my intention is to have this public discussion. So I think that would be, you know, from hearing from your comments, that might be something that we may have some agreement on. To the commissioner, the current projected budget is $3.2 billion. Do you have any updated projected budget?
That is the current projection.
Well, do you know when, Mr. Chair, do you know when we'll have an updated projected budget, or is that the final number?
That's the number that we anticipate screening with the feds.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. My understanding is that in a couple months, June, July, we will have an updated final budget projections, and then it's anticipated that there will be an application for federal funding. I'm concerned that when we get the updated budget, it's going to be $3.5 billion, over $225 million per mile, $100 million per mile. Do you anticipate that federal funding for this project, you seem to anticipate federal funding for this project, how much would the federal funding be? You'd mentioned 50%.
Excuse me, point of order. So I thought we were at Representative Sensenmura's question
that he was following up on.
It seems like we moved. I don't mind, you know, discussion stuff, but I just want to say it seemed like we were on Representative Sensenmura's question. I don't know if she's finished or not, or if who's next on the list. That's just my question.
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I think he makes a valid point, though. Why don't I finish that question? We did not give Representative Sensenmura an opportunity to. If she was finished, but I guess I'll just finish. Do you know how much the federal funding amount is? You'd mentioned 50%.
Working with the federal government these days is especially an art, not a science. It is 50%, and the sort of question on people's minds is it 50% of what the projected budget was a number of years ago, or is it 50% of the current budget? And we're working with them to pursue 50% of the current budget.
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you. That's quite different from my understanding. I think what you said could be true, but the current request was at like $750 million instead, which was half of what the original budget was, which was half of what the current planned project is, but we should go back to Representative Sensenmayer. I apologize for going over that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Koznick. You know, I would just say that I think if we hear back from the federal government and they are not in support, then I think we should have a different conversation. I know that I've been speaking often to Hennepin County about this, and I think they have laid out a lot of reasons why they feel like there should be positive developments with the federal government. I think there have been some surprising ways in which the federal government has been really supportive of rail projects. So I think, you know, if we need to have a conversation about different alternatives to move people across this line, we should have that conversation when it is appropriate. But I know that when we do the research and when I talk to people, the economic development that can come from building out rail just cannot compare to the economic development that can come from BRT. Thank you.
Representative Chair Koznick, do you have a follow-up on that? Or?
I had a couple more questions for the commissioner, but if other members have questions, go for that.
Chair Koznick, you want to ask the commissioners? I do have more people on the list, but.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Representative Anderson.
Thank you. And to the commissioner. So, again, we're not sure right now whether it's going to be federal money, obviously. But if it's not.
Her mic is not on.
Thank you, Katie. I said we're not sure right now, you know, obviously whether it's going to be federal money, although I suspect that there won't be too. But. If there's not, what's the plan for Hennepin County? Because I've talked to a different commissioner who came around, and I brought up the whole, you know, issue of Hennepin County Medical Center. I mean, there's a, I'm in the tax committee. That's a, you know, they're looking for money desperately. You know, this is an incredible expense, this rail. So is the Hennepin County issue. What's the plan? What's going on with your board's thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. So you know, as a former legislator, I can tell you that I can do two things at once and that the county can do two things at once. Both the hospital and transit are incredibly important statewide investments, and we are, as you know, seeking help on the hospital in an urgent way this year, and we are also pursuing the process with the federal government. As you know, as it has happened in years previous, and as we anticipate it happening now.
Chair Anderson, Representative Anderson.
I understand what you're pursuing, but that I guess my question is, what's the plan? Because if there's a lot of, Panama County is looking for a lot of money, you're looking to spend a lot of money, and there's a huge problem with the hospitals, and not just Panama County, but you know, North Memorial too, right? And they're looking at increasing sales taxes, and they have, you know, a variety of different proposals, many of which we probably haven't even heard about yet. And then this also is, you know, $3.5 billion. It's a huge amount of money.
They are both Thanks. Big investments. They're, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, proceed.
Oh, thank you. They are both significant investments. That is absolutely true. And we, the funding that is set aside, the local funding that's set aside for this is not eligible, let's say, to be paid to use on the hospital. Also, I think it is time for a larger regional conversation about what an asset Hennepin healthcare system is to people well beyond Hennepin County, and what a tragedy it would be if it did close. That being said, the county has stepped up year on year with significant property tax investment, but you know, I think you'd agree we can't drown our residents in property taxes to support the hospital. That would have other unintended consequences.
Yeah, thank you.
Follow up, Representative Anderson.
No, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Scraba.
It's the questions that I had were kind of have already been asked, but one of the questions about the federal funding, has the Green Line, is that operational, and how has it been operating?
The Green Line is operational. The Green Line extension will be operational next year. And as I was alluding to, light rail continues to attract the bulk of transit riders. We found so before the light rail sort of was built in the Twin Cities, we had a bus system, and with the addition of light rail, to our system. We've found a big increase in ridership, and that light rail is driving that increase, and we anticipate that for the Green Line extension as well.
Okay, Chair, one of the, and I've heard it, but I haven't heard the answer yet. What is the plan if there is no federal funding, period? Let's say there is none. What is the plan?
I hesitate to theorize, because that's like, I don't know, what is the plan if the feds turn off the lights? We as local government, and I think the legislature as well, continue to put one foot in front of the other and follow the processes that have been laid out for us in the past and currently with the feds. We're in very close conversation with the regional office of the Federal Transit Authority. Mm-hmm. They have been very encouraging of this project, and this project ranks extremely well, and also, may I say, like really cheap per mile compared to other projects that we're competing with around the nation. So I feel extremely confident in what we're going to see, in this engagement with the federal government. And additionally, I'm informed by the process of pursuing federal funding for the Green Line extension, which, of course, brought up very similar questions. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who was, in every room and in every conversation on that project as well, that process, I bring sort of that confidence, having seen how it's done and knowing that even in these times of uncertainty, the feds see the value of investing in projects like this.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for you before we move forward here. Thank you. This all feels very weird. I'm not quite sure what exactly is going on here. The commissioner is not on the hot seat for this. She's a testifier, so I don't know if she would like to go sit down. It seems like this is just asking and doing a great job, obviously, as always. But we're not talking about the bill. We're not talking about what's going on with this bill. This has House File 3441 that is in front of us right now. So I would like to talk about the bill and where we're at, and not necessarily just grilling the commissioner on questions that we could send as emails or discussions or however that may be. So I'd like to, if possible, return to 3441 so we can have a discussion about the merits of this bill.
Thank you, Chair Tabke. Thank you, Commissioner, for your testimony today. And we will move on to the bill.
Thank you.
Kraft, did you want to speak on the bill, or did you want to? Representative Kraft? I know Jones does. She wants to speak on the bill, though, not on the testifier. Yep. Okay. Okay. Now we're back on to the bill, and I will open it up to Representative Jones to talk about the bill. Representative Jones?
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I had to find my mute button. thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kosnick, for the opportunity to speak on this today. Specifically to the bill, and what it's trying to do is to push the operational maintenance costs onto Hennepin County for this transit line when it opens. I just want to state clearly on the record that that is categorically unfair. We are trying to build a robust transit system, a system for the entire Twin Cities, and to say that one particular line needs to be covered locally when we have been moving towards a centrally managed system. It honestly doesn't make any sense. And it is just another way that we continue to to go around and round on this project. It's conversations like this that prevent us from having from building a robust transit system. A robust transit system is one that has a singular management agency. That's what is best practice around the world, and where the funding can be counted upon, because we need that certainty going forward. And yes, we need thoughtful deliberations, but I just want to provide an example of, this project and many other light rail projects, they take nearly 20 years from initial idea to opening. And, I've traveled to other places, and, I just visited a metro last summer with a population half of that of the Twin Cities metro, and they've built not one, not two, but four subway metro lines in that time.
And they're able to do that because they have the consistency and commitment in the funding, and they continue to get economies of scale from the practice and the worker knowledge and expertise that are developed on that time. And that's what we've done with our roads and with our bridges. And I just wish we would finally come to terms with, you know, and actually decide, do we want a robust transit system? And if we do, we need to have certainty in the funding going forward, so that we can build up that same level of expertise and knowledge in our transit system. So that I will be voting no on this bill. We need to lay this topic to bed. There's nothing more to be talked about here until we know the federal funding situation. I think the questioning around what is Hennepin County going to do if they don't get federal funding, like that, you could ask that question on so many different projects, and from transportation to healthcare to education to building infrastructure. So let's take a step back and say, like, we don't need to be asking or doing anything more on this project until we have more funding information from the feds. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Any other members' discussion or follow up, Chair Kosnick, on that? Okay, other member questions? Okay, we'll go to closing, Chair Kosnick. Chair Tabke, sorry. You're the other.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to say that I really have big concerns about this bill, not because of really what it, like, we can obviously have policy discussions about how operations move forward and how capital costs move forward and that kind of thing. But this is a local project. This is a county project that the county is working on and paying on. And what we have as a metro and the deal that we have as to how we, as Representative Jones was talking about, is that the deal we have with transit in order to get our transit system moving forward is that the metro will pay for the operations of how we do this, and the local areas, unless we decide, again, policy-wise to change things, will handle the construction and capital costs in general on especially these types of projects. And so this Blue Line project is one that Commissioner Green and I have talked about many, many times and figured out how we can move forward. I have concerns about the project. I have concerns about it moving forward that we've discussed. But it's not our choice from a state level as to how to do this. This is a Hennepin County project, and they get to do things how they want to do things and how their constituents elect folks to do things. And so I trust and believe in that process and trust them to move that forward. And so we can all still have concerns and questions as to how things can get done. But as a metro, we pay for operations. That's what we do here, and that's how we can make sure that we have vibrant, that how we have well-used and growing transportation systems. We're recovering from post-COVID, and it's really important that we make sure that we all continue to work forward on that and continue to invest on that, because we simply can't afford all the expansion needs on our roadway system. Like, it just doesn't work. We would need tens, hundreds of billions of dollars to get where it needs to go, and so we all need to work together on this concept that transit is a very good option and a very good solution for people to be able to use to get from their homes to work, from their homes to the hospital, from their homes to the grocery store. And this kind of thing throws a wrench in that, and that we have an agreement with everybody. And so I definitely oppose this and look forward to future conversations on how we can make sure to improve and continue to grow our transit system to make sure that it works for all folks in the metro. So thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One concern I have is just, the commissioner talked about the lowest subsidy. Well, what percentage of them are subsidized? And is that subsidy part of what we contribute then to the actual maintenance of it? Because it's not revenue, it's a subsidy. And so that's my concern with where this goes. We met the people there. There's certainly concerns on their behalf too for their community. Disruption, I'm a business owner, that disruption for a long period of time. So I think there's plenty of concerns about this, and there's certainly other options. So I would be against before the bill, and so I'd like to call for a roll call.
Roll call's been asked. Roll call granted. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what we do here. Everything that we do here is subsidizing our transportation system. We subsidize our roads. We subsidize our bridges. That's what we do here. And so if we're not understanding how the basic transportation budget works, then, like, we need to take a step back and really maybe do a 101 lesson on how the money flows, because these are public goods and public services. Usually that means if they're public goods and public services that they are subsidized. And that's exactly what our role is to determine what is of value to our community and what are we going to do as a committee to make sure that people can get around their community. Not everything has to be driven by profit. And so this place astounds me that we don't actually like talk about public goods and public benefits, and we're always trying to figure out like how to, I'm just befuddled by this. So I will.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to make a side comment on that, you know, we have a kind of a habit of build it and they will come. And so that's the whole conversation we had about the BRT, where we have the highly subsidized routes and we spent $23 million, $72 million to put it up. Those are small pennies compared to this, but we have the definitely approach that we're going to build it and they will come. And then we just pay for it in between. And so I think it's really smart for us to make sure that we know how this is all going to work out before we go any further. So that'll be my side comment. Thanks.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you. I would invite any of you to actually come up and visit my community where this is going to be built and see how many businesses and homes and people live in that area. I know Representative Kosnick said something about people in his district are telling him they don't need it. Yeah, because he lives in Lakeville. We're talking about Brooklyn Park, Maple Grove. I mean, we're talking about Highway 81. These are people that I talk to, that I live around, that I drive by. I drive 610. I drive 81. I know where these lines are going to go. And so I would love to hear a person that you talk to in Brooklyn Park or a person that you talk to in Robbinsdale that doesn't want this.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I also just want to point out, bring us back also to Chair Tabke's comment. There is very little state money in this. This is a local project. So when you're saying subsidy and all that, I totally agree with Representative Cagle. Like, we build roads and they will come, right? But like this project, there's hardly any state money in it. So let's keep our hands off.
Any other discussion? Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, and members, I appreciate that we do have this time to have discussion. I think everybody that wanted to speak was able to, and the next bill will probably go quicker because it's basically the similar discussion. One of the issues and the reason that there's concerns about this project is because it will monopolize a lot of the regional dollars. $57 million a year to operate is $57 million that you won't have a rapid bus alternative in Columbia Heights. This December, many of us took the opportunity to hear from communities in North Minneapolis, in Crystal, in Robbinsdale, in Brooklyn Park, and Minneapolis. Community that is directly tied to this light rail extension, and their voices have been missing. It wasn't people from Lakeville that showed up there, except for me. But we heard for 2 hours the community telling us that this Blue Line extension project is going to divide, like physically, the West Broadway business district, minority-owned businesses that rely on foot traffic, that rely on being able to the pedestrian traffic to get back and forth across the street. And it's proposed that this train would rip up that road in front of their businesses displacing the businesses for a while, but also once it's there, make it very not user-friendly. Additionally, this project, we've spent $50 million by North Memorial Hospital to improve the roadway in front of there with two big bridges so that for emergency reasons and congestion. $50 million of those bridges are going to get knocked down. That's very recent dollars that this state has spent on that project. Further up the line on County Road 81, Robbinsdale, Crystal, leading into Brooklyn Center, we just widened that Botno Boulevard to relieve the congestion so that people can get to work and where they need to go. That new dollars will be ripped up if we did this project. So there is a reason to be discussing this and why I bring it forward. I think one of the other reasons is that it's not likely that this project is going to get full federal funding. They're hopeful that they get 50% of a number from 15 years ago. Now that number's doubled the cost of the project. In a couple months, we're going to hear that the cost of the project has gone even higher. And the question needs to be, is Hennepin County prepared to fund all the local funding, all the state funding, to build this on their own if there is no federal funding? I think we kind of heard a little bit of that answer, but I would tell you the residents that we heard from earlier today, they came here to the Capitol to meet with us, and we heard earlier, previously in December, that they don't want their communities ripped apart. They don't want a train bulldozing the middle of their business district and in their other communities. That was very much members in that community. But what they do want, and what I'm worked hard to support, is a bus rapid alternative that will serve hopefully as many or more people to get them to where they want to go for about 10% of the cost of this. The other bills that we've heard, we try to make transportation affordable and innovative, and one of the bills that we did pass together was a transit consolidation so that we can have better regional planning. And the savings in that bill makes transit, not just for the riders, but for our planners and as a state, more affordable. This bill or Blue Line Extension, is considerably unaffordable compared to the alternatives of putting together a rapid bus program in this corridor. And so, again, you know, the question needs to be, is the county prepared to fund this on their own? And if they fund it on their own, I think we have an obligation to question if we have to maintain something that a local partner wants to do on their own. And so anticipate a revised version of this bill that says if they don't have federal funding, then they actually have to pay for their own maintenance of it, because the state taxpayers across the region shouldn't have to have their transit needs diminished and be punished the taxpayers more with higher property taxes and increased sales tax, especially when there's other needs in the region. Happens to be in Hennepin County with the hospital that's in deficit, and so we have to pick our priorities. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think we could proceed with the roll call.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. And 3441 is being moved to Ways and Means, and we will have the CLA take the roll call.
Chair Kosnick.
Aye.
Chair Tabke.
No.
Vice Chair Ream.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Fogelman.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
Jones, no.
Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Cagle. Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Luger-Nicolai.
No.
Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Sensor-Murrow.
No.
Representative Scrava.
Yes.
The ayes are 6, the nays are 7.
The nays being 7, the ayes 6, 3441 will not move to Ways and Means. Laid over. You laid over. Okay, we have next up is 3507, Representative Kosnick, a bill moving to Ways and Means.
Thank you, members. I will move 3507 to Ways and Means. What this bill does is the legislature previously set aside $30 million for the construction of the Blue Line extension that we've been talking about, the light rail. As I mentioned, we've talked to many, many constituents in this corridor as recently as even today. They've sent some letters in your packet. We've talked about the disruption to their businesses, especially the West Broadway Business District is concerned. But all along the corridor, we heard from constituents in every city that's affected. And what the bill does is reallocates the $30 million for a light rail extension that I don't think is ever going to get federally funded, and provides transit services, begins transit services more robustly in the same corridor for these neighbors and community members to do a ABRT line, and uses that $30 million to start that, and we can augment that with the other transit funds that are in both Hennepin County and the region as kind of planned. Another thing that I would mention is the projected light rail train, $3.5 billion as opposed to maybe $100 million for one bus route, and we could do a couple to make sure that the service meets the needs. But it's kind of a train heading from downtown Minneapolis at Target Field kind of to where nobody is working anymore. Recently, it was announced Target is cutting 800 jobs across Minnesota, 300 of them in Brooklyn Park. The rest were in downtown Minneapolis. We need to hit the pause button on this train. We can still service the other transportation needs in the corridor with less expensive rapid bus instead of a $3.5 billion train, especially in lieu of the declining economics in the corridor. So, members, I would encourage your support to help build an arterial bus rapid transit program in the Blue Line corridor.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. Member discussion, Representative Sensenbrenner.
Thank you, and I know we had a robust discussion, so I'll make this quick. I just want to say, Representative Kahn, I only have one letter in my packet. I know you talked about, you know, multiple testimony. I don't know if I'm missing. I only have one letter. And, you know, I wish that you had allowed for more testimony on these bills. If there are residents from these areas who have real concerns, I would love to be able to hear it. I've just heard that being referenced a lot. I know that there was a Blue Line tour that happened back in, I can't remember, sometime in the winter. I think I got an invite to it like the day before, so I was not able to come. But, you know, I think if we're really going to have a robust discussion, we really should be allowing for those community voices to come in. And just one testimony to me does not really paint the picture that you are saying. Thank you.
Chair Kosnick?
I think that's fair. There was a whole group that has met with people many times here. They've been at the Capitol last year, too. I think there was a former engineer, Jerry Johnson, that posted his comments on there. But I recognize your point.
Follow-ups? Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So actually last year, in our budget bill, we tasked Met Council with studying this same proposal, comparing the benefits, life cycle costs, riderships, et cetera, between a potential BRT or LRT line. The report and its recommendations are due to the committee by June 15th. So we asked to look at this in a serious way. Let's do that and not just make a rash decision. Thanks.
Chair Kosnick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kraft, I think that's fair. I'd be open to an oral amendment that this Bill 3507 is contingent upon the June 15th Blue Line Extension Alternative Analysis Report, that if it shows a bus rapid transit would be more feasible than a light rail train, that we transfer that $30 million and start going and providing this community with those rapid bus transit needs.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not interested in that oral amendment. I want to see the report. I imagine there'll be, a lot of detailed analysis in it. And I think the legislature, whoever the legislature is at that point, when the next legislature would deal with it. Thanks.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was at that meeting in the winter time. It was covered by the press. The press was there. There were 30-some people that got up and testified from the communities. We were interested in just seeing what they had to say, but they had lots to say. There were very few people that were interested in it that came. They said they had concerns like, we're going to lose our community. They valued their small-town feel, and I can relate to that. They also said that, when you start here, it's a six-year process. There's business owners that got up and spoke, and they said, when you come here and you're going to disrupt this for 6 years, it's going to be nothing like it was for us. And so they were concerned. So it would have been good that you were there because there were definitely people that were interested. And, again, the press was there too. So I think that, this whole thing I think is fair for us to be looking at. So with that, I'll call for a roll call on this one as well. Thank you.
Roll call called. Roll call granted. Chair Tabke. Chair Kozak. Okay, I guess I will we'll renew 3507 going to Ways and Means. We'll have the CLA take the roll call.
Chair Kozak.
Kozak votes aye.
Chair Tabke.
No.
Vice Chair Ream.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Jones.
Jones, no.
Representative Joy. Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Luger-Nicolai.
No.
Representative Murphy. Yeah. Representative Sensor-Murrah.
No.
Representative Scraba.
Aye.
The ayes are 6, the nays are 7.
The ayes are 6, the 7. We will lay this bill over, I guess. Let's not leave. And I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Joy. I will resume the gavel. Next bill before us. And thank you for the discussion, members. That is probably the largest public works project yet in the state history. So I think it's important to have that discussion. We'll continue to discuss, and especially after the, I'm going to name it the Kraft Report, comes out June 15th. Representative Anderson will move House File 3562 to the Ways and Means.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the committee. Just trying to organize the paperwork. Go ahead and introduce your bill or make the motion yourself as a member of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 3562 to Ways and Means. Did you want to take the amendment first, or should I go ahead?
Nope. Let's take the A1 amendment. That's an author's amendment to get the bill in the proper order. And I'll just note that we're working with our Senate colleagues, and, of course, we like to make sure tidy things up and make sure the bill is in the form that works best for Minnesotans. So, I will move the A1 amendment for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to start
Why don't we just adopt the A1 amendment?
Okay.
Do you want me to explain it?
Mm-hmm.
The A1 amendment just uses the general fund dollars for the reduction in the underlying bill. All those in favor of the, or do you want discussion?
Yeah. So this is, I'm confused as to what's going on here again. As this is an author's amendment to get the bill in the way you would like it, because this is a pretty massive, this is not a technical little change of things. This is a pretty serious way of doing things. So I would like to talk about this before we adopt this amendment.
Sure. Yeah. And I just introduced it for expediency, but it is an author's amendment. So go ahead, if Chair Dabke, with any questions.
Okay. So this is, how do we want to start this? Yeah, let's hold off on the amendment until after would be great. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it that way. Generally, okay. We just adopt the author's amendments, but we can have a discussion. Just talk about the bill overall, Rep. Anderson, and then we'll have the discussion on the A1, it looks like.
I will. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I want to just start out. I want to read something that I got from a constituent that I think a lot of you have also received. It says, "Good morning, Representative Anderson. I'm one of your constituents from Matamidi. I'm writing to you regarding vehicle registration tabs. I recently purchased a new pickup truck, Chevy Silverado with mid-trim. Nothing too fancy, but good for towing. Since it's a new truck, I was expecting tabs to be somewhat expensive. But after seeing a bill of over $800, I'm in complete shock. Myself, like many in your community, can't imagine how this is made into law, and I'm hoping you'll fight for us to get this changed. Please reach out." We have received, all of us, numerous emails and phone calls like that. Numerous. Because the sticker shock of what happened 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, when the DFL trifecta changed the tab schedule, raised them by over 20%, and changed the depreciation schedule, that is now coming down. Now we have absolute sticker shock of something that was passed a couple of years ago. I want to start by pointing out, we're going to put a couple little quick slides up on the screen. The first one is, this is important. The first one is the depreciation schedule that the tab bill, there we go, laptop one. All right, there we go. On the left is the Kelley Blue Book of essentially what car depreciation is, according to Kelley Blue Book. So after 1 year, you buy a car, you walk out, it's depreciated 16%, 12% the next year, and so on and so forth. The tab bill, the tab law is currently, we currently have, does depreciation at 5% a year. 5%. And so what you have, folks, is not only dramatically increased prices, but you have people paying at a significantly higher, you know, value of cars than their cars are actually worth. And that's what's led to a lot of the huge increases in tab costs. I'm going to go to the next slide. And this is where the sticker shock is. If you take a look at how tab fees compare to our other states, Wisconsin, where I'm 15 minutes from the Wisconsin border, 15 minutes, it's $85 flat fee. South Dakota, $75. North Dakota, you know, $73. Or if you have a big truck, it's $93. And even in Illinois, which we all think of as poorly run, you know, high tax state, it's $151. Minnesota is way over almost every state in the nation, the tab fees. And we are making driving incredibly expensive. Before I go to the next, I want to mention Representative Green, when we had the early discussion, she said, you know, we have to decide, do we want to have, you know, we want to have a transit system, a metro-wide transit. We have want to have, and I know from being on this committee in the last 2 years that there are many people on this side of the aisle who believe in transit, and that in fact we should discourage car ownership and we should discourage individual driving, and that transit is the way of the future. We should all be willing to accept that, stop driving our cars, you know, or driving them as much, and we should all be on a bus. But that's not reality, folks. That is not what people do, certainly not anywhere outside of the core city, certainly not in greater Minnesota, and certainly not in the suburbs where I live. That's not how people, you cannot function. You cannot function. You cannot go to the grocery store. You cannot go to your businesses. You cannot come to the Capitol. You cannot go anywhere because we don't have, you know, little light rail lines that go down every single road, which I think is, you know, I get this impression that that's where we're going. And so what we've done, what happened 2 years ago is that by increasing tab fees 22% and changing the depreciation schedule, we have made things incredibly unaffordable for people in Minnesota. I have a couple of things. These are things that people have sent me. This is a, I hope you can see that. This is a bill that I'll actually tell you someone that works in this building sent me. This is a one-year-old Tesla. Not an expensive Tesla. I think the car was about $48,000. It's over $1,000 for the tab fee. $1,000. That is people's rent payments in some cases. The next one is from the gentleman who I read his email. I actually asked him to send me his bill, and he did. $812. $812 for a $45,000 truck. Okay, that is absolutely unaffordable. And we are sticker shocking our citizens in the state, and it's just it just can't go on. We passed the trifecta passed a 75-cent sales tax increase in the metro. That sales tax for transportation or transit could be for transportation. That sales tax is bringing in $500 million a year. And we all know that the Met Council is flush with cash because a lot of this money is going there. We all know this. There is so much money within a transit budget that a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the people in the state use. And it's becoming, you know, even tinier. My husband's office is in Woodbury, and it overlooks that 694, you know, corridor. And they've sat and they watched this this bus line get built, and they watch, and there's a big transit station. They're trying to figure out what it was in the beginning, and then they, you know, then it finally came in, and they watch out their window, his entire staff, and nobody is at that transit stop. Nobody is riding that bus. And there have been, you know, numerous news articles about it. The world is changing. It's changing. But what this legislature has done a couple of years ago is we actually went the opposite direction, where we made it so individual people with their individual cars are getting priced out of the state. It is just wrong. We need to do something about that. So this bill, House File 3562, does exactly that. It brings the depreciation schedule back to what it was, which is realistic, which is real. You know, in fact, it's even, I would argue, I don't know, maybe even a little high, because we all know it's 16% when you walk out the door that it, your car depreciates. It isn't 5 and it isn't 10, but the old schedule at least is 10 rather than the 5. So this brings it back to that, and it brings down the costs on these fees. And so it's something, if we are serious about making Minnesota affordable, this is something that we should be serious about doing. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. We do have the motion for the author's amendment, the A1. Is it your desire to just, can we take that up and then just discuss the bill? Is that all right?
Yep.
All right. All those in favor of adopting the author's amendment, A1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Okay, so now we got it in there. We've got on the list Representatives Centimura, Cagle, and Kraft. We'll go in that order at this point, so please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson. So my question is about the author's amendment. Where are we cutting to find $732 million to pay for this? Thank you.
Thank you. So the author's amendment, it allows these funds to to backfill, essentially, for roads to come out of the general fund. And that's something that we can do. It's something we've used general fund money to fund everything, multiple things. And so it actually comes out of the general fund, which we know that we have at least in the short term. And it's over the period of time, right? So it's I have the actual numbers here somewhere on a fiscal note. But I think it's
Representative Anderson, I don't believe that there are any cuts on there. We're using general fund taxpayer dollars.
It's semantics. So,
Representative Sensenmura?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I think just is really important to, you know, especially for people that are not looking at this fiscal note that don't have maybe the understanding that we do as legislators, like, if it's coming out of the general fund, mm-hmm. it is coming out of something else that we fund. And I just heard one of your representatives on the floor today, Representative Kreshaw, saying that we should sign EDI. And one of the things that he brought up was the fact that the governor proposed $50 million cuts in special education funding. And I don't agree with what the governor proposed there. I think $50 million from special education is not something that we should do. I think it's something we should push back on. You know, this bill is asking for 14 times that. And when it comes from the general fund, it comes from places like special education. It comes from places like money for nursing homes. It comes from places like pay for law enforcement. So these are the choices that we have to make. You know, when I first saw the bill and I said, okay, we're cutting, where are we going to find $730 million to cut from roads and bridges or public transit? But now this is just saying that, you know, kids don't get fed, teachers don't get paid, essential workers, you know, don't get a living wage to pay for car tab fees, and I don't agree with that approach.
Can I reply?
Go ahead, follow up if you need.
Thank you. There is nothing being proposed to be so-called cut. There are things, you know, right now there's dollars in our, you know, in our fund. So you can say it, maybe it's not future increases somewhere, future dollars spent on programs, whatever those are, or tax cuts, frankly, because we spend way too much money here as a state, and frankly, we should be cutting taxes. So this is a way to cut tab fee costs, you know. But we should be cutting taxes. We had $10 billion in tax increases 2 years ago.
Okay, Representative Cagle. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Money doesn't just magically mm-hmm. appear, and it doesn't magically just sit there. Mm-hmm. This is real money mm-hmm. that you're blowing almost a $1 billion budget hole mm-hmm. in our general fund, mm-hmm. but absolutely no plan to replace that. Mm-hmm. So, and we know you all hate tax cuts, and, you know, this is a really great headline bill that shows Republicans are going to be, you know, whatever they are trying to sell this week. But the story behind it is that there's a $732 million budget hole you're creating with this bill. And so, you know, is Trunk Highway 244 not going to get done in 2023 or in 2030? Probably not. U.S. Trunk Highway 61 resurfacing, probably not going to get done. And Minnesota Trunk Highway 97, you know, where's the money going to come for those? Mm-hmm. We're talking about making sure that our roads and bridges are safe and drivable. This is not some abstract thing that people deal with every day. And if you want to talk about the EV fees, that was done last year. Mm-hmm. That I was in those negotiations. I was trying to find a progressive way to do EV funds. And that's not what the compromise ended up being. So if you want to talk about the EV fees, you can thank your chair here. Minnesota has nearly 20,000 more miles than Wisconsin. Do our roads cost less per mile than Wisconsin's? Because it's $1 million a mile to build a road. $1 million a mile. So we're talking about, this is real to people. These are not only that, but these are jobs. Look in your packets. Trade unions, contractors, cities, our League of Cities, Coalition Greater Minnesota Cities, Metro Cities,
Chair Anderson,
Association
did any of
Counties.
These groups,
I'm actually
you?
Still speaking. Nope. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so what I'm, I just, this is classic. So we come in, we fix the giant hole in the budget, we get make sure that we can actually take care of our roads and bridges and assets, and then you guys put in a bill that just blows it all up without any plans. So this is not serious. This is just for talking points, and I suggest a no vote.
Representative Anderson, or should we move on to the next representative?
How much time do we have?
Excuse me?
I'm happy to argue it on the other way, but I know there's other speakers and we have 5 minutes left, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess I do. I'm glad you raised the point of these stakeholders that sent letters. They didn't talk to the author, which I think is bad form, and they didn't understand that there is no cuts to roads in your bill as is amended. So the reality is, during the trifecta, the taxes were raised on Minnesotans, and Minnesotans are contacting their representatives, and they're questioning it, if not furious. Thank you for bringing the bill that makes driving more affordable. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. I don't have much to add to what's been said. I do think that when one's proposing this drastic of a cut from anywhere, that it should be a responsibility to propose what is being cut. And just saying, well, we can find it, I don't find that responsible. The thing I want to request of you, as I didn't do a point of order, but when you were speaking, you were implying motives of people on this side of we want everyone to not have a car and to only do transit. And I think that crossed the line into implying motives for me and some of my colleagues, and I'd appreciate if you wouldn't do that. Thank you.
Representative Fogelman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson, for bringing this bill. As somebody who lives in rural Minnesota and we own a small business, I can tell you that our taxes on our cars, our vehicles, have gone from about $5,000 a year to $8,000 a year. And when you own a small business, and these are not new vehicles by any means, that hurts. And I think of how small a business we are, and I can't imagine that helping any business in our state, and again, continue to push businesses out of our state that we keep losing. I think I read the other day that we lost another $1 billion tax base last year. And that's gonna allocate to everybody in our tax base. We did have $18 billion surplus, and we've had $9 billion worth of fraud that I think could have kept our roads safe and been spent on those kind of things, that's what we're supposed to be doing here in the Transportation Committee. So thank you for bringing this bill. I hope that we can make Minnesota more affordable for our citizens. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Joy.
Thank you, Representative Anderson, for this. This is making Minnesota more affordable. When we talk about Wisconsin, we talk about greenhouse gas mitigation here. I can't go from Fargo when they're building a brand new interstate with 8 new lanes, and then I got to go to Minnesota. We won't be able to afford that project. The district supervisor, Minnesota district supervisor, said that because of the greenhouse gas mitigations to add more lanes. So we can't really compare Wisconsin tabs to roads more expensive. They are more expensive in Minnesota to build because of the regulations we put on. So I do appreciate this bill. I think this bill here is, when you think about where the money's going to come from, well, we took it from the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not a revenue generator down here. I don't think we run this as a business. We're taking the taxpayers' money, giving it back to them. We're making it more affordable. People are hit. This is hitting people's pockets as they renew their tabs this year. You know, we're not going to stop building roads and bridges, but we are going to make people be able to afford their homes, be able to afford their medicine, be able to afford groceries, a lot of this stuff. We fight for so many things down here to make Minnesota affordable, but yet we raise taxes $10 billion. When is enough enough? Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Representative Tapke, I'll make a couple comments and you can. I just want to share something, two things. One was an email that was sent to a representative. I won't say their name, but and it wasn't to me. This was shared with me. It says, "What in the heck did you vote for? I'm renewing my car tabs for a 23 Acura, which has a Kelley Blue Book value of about $33,000, but I'm being taxed on a value of $63,000. So he's being taxed on something he doesn't even own. What are you going to do to all us citizens? This is a horrible thing that I'm sure you voted for and that I don't understand the justification. Are you supportive of your colleague's offhanded comment about increasing taxes fivefold?" I don't need to finish that one. But more, so people are upset, and Minnesotans are upset, and they want, there wasn't a lot of discussion happening when it happened. But also, I have a neighbor who bought a used 22 little sport utility for their family. They paid 36,000. They bought it in 2005, and it was like 3 years old. They bought it, the 22 Sport Utility. They paid $36,000 for it, but the base value is that they're being taxed on is $51,395, which equates to a tab fee annually of $607.25. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, that's like a half a, you know, for a lot of people, rent payment, sometimes half of a rent payment. But so Minnesotans don't understand why they're being taxed more, and then their tabs aren't going, their tab fee is not going down as it usually does the longer you own a vehicle. So thank you for showing that depreciation schedule. There is a letter in here from the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association in support of this bill. And when we had the transportation forecast, we're actually losing less of, we're losing dedicated dollars into the transportation fund because motor vehicle sales tax is down, meaning people are buying less brand new vehicles. Mm-hmm. Now that they know that it's more expensive to own a vehicle in Minnesota, Minnesotans are going to slow down on buy before they buy another new vehicle and purchase more used vehicles or just not buy new vehicles as often because they can't afford it. So that's what this bill, I'm glad that you introduced it and are authoring it because you're trying to make driving in Minnesota, owning a vehicle for your family more affordable in Minnesota. So thank you for bringing the bill and finding current revenue to continue to maintain our roads. Representative Tabke, and then we're going to go to a vote.
Thank you very much, Chair Kosnick. So I as well, Representative Adams, well, thank you for bringing this bill. Like I, oddly enough, am fully on board. Like I very much agree with you that tab fees are way too high, that they are, it's not what we would want to have it be in the state of Minnesota. And we have a massive gap in our maintenance. We have a massive gap in maintaining one of the largest roadway systems in the world. And so this is one of the ways that was able to fill that gap so that Representative Fogelman has good roads to drive on for her business. Like that is, if we had terrible roads in Minnesota, that would drive, absolutely drive business away. There is zero question about that whatsoever. And so we have for years been working on finding ways to transfer more, to get more general fund money into the transportation system. And I think that that is without a doubt the best way to fund transportation. Unfortunately for us, when there are education needs, when there are home health care workers that need to be paid more and all these things I agree with as we go forward, then transportation gets cut. And so transportation has dedicated funds for those reasons so that we can still maintain our roads, but it's not nearly as it doesn't pull at the heartstrings as much as making sure that we are funding a world-class education and making sure that we are having our healthcare system that works for folks. And so that's the pull here, right? And that's the push and pull as to how we are funding transportation. Transportation has dedicated funds. So if we were to pass this today, what would happen? And maybe this is a question for you, Chair Kosnick. Like, if we were to pass this today, what would happen? Because I want to get more general fund into the transportation system, and this would absolutely do that. It is mm-hmm. I think everyone in this room knows, and everybody who ends up voting for this knows that this is a disingenuous, this is a non-workable, this is a problematic bill for how we would fund transportation in the state of Minnesota. So I'll ask both the representative and Chair Kosnick, like, we don't have a target. We don't have any funding. So what would happen if we passed this today?
Well, last year we had a negative target. That doesn't mean you have to
No, my question is, what would happen if we passed this today?
Understood. We would have more dollars, with the same amount of dollars in our transportation system to, as we currently do. Minnesota taxpayers, Minnesota families would have more money in their pocket.
Mr. Chair.
No, we're going to. No, what would happen fundamentally, Mr. Chair, if we pass this today, where would this $732 million in the next biennium, $159 million in this biennium, where would that money come from? You know that you can't just say that it comes from the general fund. What are you going to do? How could this work in reality? You know this is wrong. You know that we can't do this. You're doing this
careful
just
careful with pushing you, motives here and that a little bit.
You know you this is wrong. So
no, it's not wrong.
This how is what would you do
okay,
this?
I got your question. Minnesota taxpayers from a variety of sources are paying into the general fund. Families are working hard and harder every year to pay the taxes that are due. It's tax season even.
I agree with you. You're evading the question.
I'm answering the question. Please don't interrupt. Minnesota taxpayers are also now concerned about rising tab fees, and there is a surplus of dollars in our state ongoing, and we can afford this. Simple as that.
So we're in a positive economic outlook now. Is that what I'm hearing?
We do not have a revenue problem in the state. There is a structural problem with continuing new programs that are overspending in the out years. But this bill, as it sits, would continue to fund our roads and bridges and reduce the burden on taxpayers and drivers.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. And I know we're running out of time. This will go to Ways and Means, obviously, where they would make determinations about things, obviously. So that's what we've asked. We've asked for this to go to Ways and Means, where they can make determinations about bills, spending, et cetera. And that's where this should go, because this should be in the mix. It's 100, and I think it's 159 in this biennium, and there's future bienniums. And there isn't. This would change the numbers, assuming all other spending and all other programs remains the same. And again, we don't know what the outlook is going to be a year from now. We don't know what's going to happen. But assuming nothing changes, you know, this would be something that would be in the mix. But I can tell you, Representative Tabke and others, there is so much fraud in some of these state programs that we could pay for this five times over down the road when we negotiate future budgets. There's that much fraud.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you.
Chair Kosnick, I request a roll call on this.
A roll call will be granted. Representative Tabke, quick comments?
I continue to agree with the intent of this bill and wanting to make sure that we are reducing tab fees. It's just absolutely a disingenuous, not real path forward. I am disappointed that, if this is just, I was okay with just voting no on the tab fee side of things, but then when you have the general fund amendment on here, this is something that would hurt Minnesotans. We would have to cut teacher pay. If you vote yes for this, you're cutting teacher pay, you're cutting home health care worker pay, you are cutting roads, you are cutting things that we genuinely care about in the state of Minnesota, because this would be event and probably in the following biennium over $1 billion that you would be cutting out of our general fund system in order to make this work. And I wish we had MMB here to say how this would affect everybody. I'm voting no because this is a disingenuous way to fund government.
Okay. Take a little exception with calling it a disingenuous bill. Representative Anderson, I appreciate your work on this. We can reduce tab fees and use general fund dollars and save Minnesota drivers' family budgets.
I would love
budgets.
For that to be real.
We can if we wanted to do it. Representative Ream, apologize to the chair. She wanted to comment, and then we'll go to a vote.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. So I just wanted to point out the commissioner's notes here. She wrote a letter saying that between 2023 and 2022, the Minnesota Department of Transportation estimates there will be $36.7 billion available revenue to address a $52 to $57 billion in identified transportation needs on the state trunk highway system. So we don't have enough money right now to fix our roads. I think not having any more available revenue is going to be a real problem. Roads are expensive. Talk to the people who went over the or who are affected by the bridge collapsing. the 35W bridge, it collapsed because we weren't keeping our roads in good shape. Mm-hmm. 13 people died, 145 people were injured. You know, saving money is great, and I'm all for that, but if we're going to be driving on roads, we need to keep them maintained. And with this bill, we will not be able to maintain them. We won't be able to keep up with what we need to do to maintain them, and so I cannot support this bill.
Thank you for the comments. I would also again recognize that the letter from the commissioner does not recognize that we're using general fund dollars to augment the current tab fee situation. Mm-hmm. The vote before us is, do we want to make driving more affordable for Minnesotans? Mm-hmm. Thank you for the bill. We could talk more about how our road system and cost are maintained. We will proceed with the road since we are over time. Mr. Baker, please proceed with the roll call.
Chair Kosnick.
Aye.
Chair Tabke.
No.
Vice Chair Myers. Vice Chair Ream.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Green. Representative Jones.
Jones, no.
Representative Joy.
Yes.
Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Luger-Nicolai.
No.
Representative Murphy. No. Representative Sensor-Murra.
No.
Representative Scraba.
Aye.
The ayes are 7, the nays are 7.
The ayes are 7, nays are 7. The motion does not prevail. This committee will be adjourned. Thank you for your time, members.